10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
It's colder where you and I are than it is at the North Pole.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, a homeless man gains access to an NYPD locker room. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Snow days, snow days, snow days. Spend your Hanover days with Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, it's the Sterling Show. It's Sterling Every Damn Sunday. It's our special Extraordinary Snow Event episode. Extraordinary Snow Event. Extraordinary Snow Events. And that's why we're here. Because, you see, the thing about radio as opposed to TV, you can watch all the TV you want, and they'll just pretend there's no snow. There's no major event. Let's start the show with a major event.
Maduro. I just grabbed this guy named Maduro. And suddenly he found out what happens when you F around. Maduro. We just nailed this freaking Maduro. And all his narco-commie friends will soon meet similar ends. Maduro. Maduro, I'll never stop taunting Maduro.
Yes. Snow alert, emergency alert. We're on top of all snow things. Aware of all snow things. That's what we do. Why? Because this is radio. This isn't a show from years ago being presented now. I'd never do that to you. Walter M. Sterling. Odds are you're listening to this show in the car with a significant other, maybe at home with a significant other. And that means that whether you're with a significant other or your wife, you need to be reminded about the key fact of dealing with women.
When your wife says, correct me if I'm wrong, do not under any circumstances correct her.
It's time to start the show.
Number 1416, and it's take one.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Stand by. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On a music, John.
Get ready to match the stars. Charlie's Angels, David Doyle.
And put in 2.
Brett Summers.
And put in 1.
Charles Nelson Riley.
And put in 2.
From Nash, Loretta Swift.
And put in 1.
Joey Mitchell.
And put in 2.
And Fanny Flay.
And put in
3.
Deeply grateful to be on Phil Zachary's WGAN in Maine. Phil, I sent you a note. Are you going to send me back a note? I really like Phil, and I'm grateful that he's shared WGAN with us every Sunday night, every Sunday night. If you're stuck with your significant other, your wife, in your car, what did I say?
When your wife says, correct me if I'm wrong, do not under any circumstances correct her.
I think it's important to understand how serious the situation is. Let's take a look at it right now. Hold on a second. Not that. Yeah, this. Why is that covered up? Why is it so hard for me to do things? I don't know. I don't know. National Weather Service has released an updated map estimating total accumulations in connection with this storm. According to the map released recently, New Jerseyans should expect between 9 and 18 inches of snow from fall Saturday night, straight through tomorrow. The storm will have a variety of dangerous and life-threatening hazards. The combination of freezing rain, ice, heavy snow, followed by a deep freeze, increases the risk of widespread travel shutdowns, extended business, commerce disruptions, and interruptions to daily life. The forecast is subject to change at any time, and I will keep you up to date as best I can. What's this? Just a second. I'll get there. I'll wake up. Hold on.
In society, we tell men what they ought to do, and they go do it. But if we tell women what they ought to do and what they should do, they go insane and they think you're being misogynistic. So it's like, men, you need to go to work. You need to make a lot of money. You need to provide. You need to get married. You need to have kids. Women, you can do whatever you want. You're fine. That's not the way that marriage works, truly.
You have to understand, the way I do this show is I wake up about a half hour ago, and then I work all night. Because this is the third shift, the great shift. I wouldn't want to work at any other time. I was talking to a young man today who runs a CT scan machine. And I said, well, when's your shift? Is this the end of it here? No, I'm here from 11 to 11. I'm like, whoa, you work late at night like I do. He said, I wouldn't have it any other way. I want to work late at night. This is the best time. It is. It is because we get to be in charge. You work from 9 to 5. 8 to 5, you're not in charge. You're in charge of nothing. You're in charge of making sure you're there on time. Hey, that sounds like fun. That's a good idea. But no, when we come in, there's nobody here. We get to jiggle the vending machines. We get to go through the boss's drawers. I actually knew a huge talk show host who was on all night. Brilliant talk show host. But gee, he made the mistake of going into the general manager's office and rifling through the drawers. Now, he claimed that what he was doing was looking for coffee. But the general manager felt that he was looking for salary information about other hosts. And he lost his job over it, which was a mistake for the station. In fact, I would consider that the station lost such a big star that they never recovered. They suffered forever because of that. Yeah, I look at things differently. Hey, you want to rifle through my drawers at 2 a.m? Go right ahead. I don't care. There's nothing here that is about plutonium. I'm not managing any plutonium. You're a manager at an office. Leave your door unlocked. Leave your drawers unlocked. Let them go through everything. Let them find out all of your secrets, like that you're paying that guy much more than the rest of the guys because you knew his father. It's all right. Who cares? In the mega data, in the 85-inch vision of life, does it matter? Absolutely not. That's what you should do. Leave your office. If you left, it's like dealing with a 5-year-old. If you say to a 5-year-old, that's bad, then they'll be tempted. If you don't care about it, they'll have no interest in it. If you leave your office door open and you let them rifle through whatever they want to rifle through, what's going to happen? Nothing.
Now your eyes are growing heavy. You're sleepy, very sleepy. You can hardly stay awake.
All right, I want you to think very hard about something to the point of hypnosis. There was a movie, one of those secret, trashy movies that you secretly like, your guilty pleasure movie. Consider this recommendation. It's called Private School. It's not an X movie. I would never send you to an X movie because I know you're stuck in a relationship now. You made the mistake. Now you're stuck. That's the deal. But I want you to think very hard about the movie Private School.
Now your eyes are growing heavy. You're sleepy, very sleepy. You can hardly stay awake.
Betsy Russell. Think about the name Betsy Russell.
Now your eyes are growing heavy. You're sleepy, very sleepy. You can hardly stay awake.
I will give you a very specific reason to think about Betsy Russell in private school. Coming up in just seconds, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Snow days, snow days. Spend your hungover days with Sterling every damn night.
All right, it's Sterling every damn Sunday night. It's about 20 past 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 20 past 7 at KFBK, a giant radio station in Sacramento run by the legendary Bill White. In every radio industry, in every industry, even in your industry, there are legends. Your police officer, thank you. Thank you for being on the third shift, the great shift with me, Walter Sterling. You're looking, what are you looking at? Officer, hey, officer. I'd love to see a photo of what you're looking at right now. Send it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. There are no dots in there. It's just WalterMSterling@gmail. The best photos I've received have been from police officers. And on WLS in Chicago, the best photos we got were Chicago police officers who, for some reason, were always under a highway overpass or a train trestle. And what they saw under the highway overpasses and the train trestles was amazing. But officer, if you stop anybody tonight, would you do me a favor? I won't publish it. I just like to see it. When they roll down that window, I want to see the look on their face. Because when you say to them, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you were doing? They know. They always know. You and I are talking, send it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail. I would love for you to think hard about, and it's hard, about Betsy Russell. In my guilty pleasure, one of very few, actually, private school. And I'll tell you why. But in order for this to have the full effect, I want you to think about the character Betsy Russell played. And the character was a character named Jordan. Her name was Jordan. And she was a preppy girl. And get the scene. I want you to see the scene. There's a preppy school horse rink, a private school horse rink. And there's Betsy Russell. And Betsy Russell is in a sheer white blouse with the pretty preppy girl hair. And she's got one of those gold anklets, thin gold anklets, that only preppy girls wear. It's on her ankle, obviously. And her ankle is tan, just right. Not really dark, fake tan. No, this is real tan. It's the tan of being outside all summer long. Betsy Russell's character, she has that kind of tan. It's a rich girl tan. Sheer white blouse. And then the miracle happens. Jesus comes down, and the miracle happens. The miracle is that her sheer white blouse, oh my gosh, magically opens. It just opens. She did not pull it open. There are no invisible strings to make it fly open, even though it's a movie and there's movie magic. It just opens. And there's her taut belly and the rich girl tan. And it opens some more. And I'm like, it's got to stop soon. She's on a horse in a public rink. There are other private school kids watching. There are private school boys watching. And there it is. Her perfect belly, tan, with one of those gold thin chains around her waist. But no navel rings or anything hideous like that. Nothing like that. This is a proper preppy girl. Betsy Russell. And she's beautiful. But you could talk to her. She's the prettiest girl at school who would actually talk to you. You know what I mean. Yeah, there are those girls who do talk to you. And they talk to most people. They're just friendly. They're happy. They're even happy to talk to you. But there's this other group of girls who are very beautiful and might talk to you and one or two other guys if you're funny or really smart and could help with other things. Or maybe you have a cool sister. you got to know them through the cool sister. But I did not have that house. I did not have the house with the cool sister or any sister. I did not have an older sister. I was very jealous of guys who had an older sister because I figured the older sister was the keeper of the secrets. You know the secrets I'm talking about. They knew the secret way to talk to the pretty girls, to ask the girls out. You could overhear them talking to boys on the phone. I had none of that. I had a mother. That's what I had. I had a mother. And she had very, very clear points of view. And I had a father who never dated. He met my mother when she was 15 and he was 18, and that was his life. And he was blessed. There are people who are ready to get married at 18, and it works. And then there are other people who are not ready to get married until they're 50, and it works. But it works if they're ready. Way too many of us get married before we're ready. It has nothing to do with who we marry. We're just not ready to get married. But more importantly, about Betsy Russell on the horse. And I want you now to think about exactly what I'm going to say, because I need you practically have to be hypnotized for this. To really appreciate this, of hypnosis. Hypnosis should be your friend. Why can't I? You should be able to be hypnotized.
Now your eyes are growing heavy. You're sleepy, very sleepy. You can hardly stay awake.
And you're thinking about Betsy Russell. Betsy Russell.
Now your eyes are growing heavy. You're sleepy, very sleepy. You can hardly stay awake.
But in order to be truly hypnotized, you need to look at something that's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. To be truly hypnotized, that's what all of us need. We need to be able to watch something going back and forth. And this is Betsy Russell's breasts. Her perfect breasts are fully exposed on the horse rink. And she's going around the horse rink, and her perfect breasts are bouncing up and down and up and down.
Your eyes are growing.
And
you're sleeping. Very.
The magic of the scene is she's happy about this, not braggadocious, but she's perfectly comfortable. She thinks it's a normal moment in the day where her perfect breasts would be exposed to even you. The Private School, Guilty Pleasure. That's the name of the movie. Private School. I expect you to look it up. If you want to see what Betsy Russell looks like on a horse with her blouse closed, it's at Facebook, Walter Sterling on Facebook, Sterling. You can look it up right now and you will see Betsy Russell on a horse 1 second before she has exposed breasts for you. Betsy Russell on a horse. It's best to be hypnotized. I think you know that. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. This is Sterling every damn Sunday night. It's exciting to be with you, and I've given you the gift now. Here we are in terrible weather in most of the country, and now I've given you something to do, to look up Betsy Russell, Private School, on a horse. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Here's the story of a radio executive.
Thanks, Walter. Always a pleasure to be with you on Sterling every damn Sunday. And before I get into tonight's number one movie in the country, which is Mercy starring Chris Pratt, I have to stop and acknowledge that the Academy Award nominations were handed out this last Thursday. So all of us in the film community got up at 5:30 in the morning to see who got snubbed, who came out ahead, and were there surprises? Yes. Wicked, For Good, not one nomination. Nothing for Ariana Grande, nothing for Cynthia Erivo. Surprising. I thought surely there'd be something, some nod. Nothing. Completely snubbed. I think the industry's trying to tell Ariana Grande to go out and have a hamburger. And hopefully she'll do that. One battle after another garnered 13 nominations, but the actress, Chase Infinity, who played Leonardo DiCaprio's daughter, was also snubbed. So 13 was pretty great, but the real winner, in nominations at least, is Sinners, the vampire musical, Ryan Coogler's film, that came out at the beginning of 2025, garnered 16 nominations. And this is history-making, because it's the first time in the history of the Academy Awards that any film has had that many nominations. 16 total nominations for Sinners in the 98-year history of the Academy Awards. Following up after one battle after another with 13, 9 nominations went to Frankenstein, Marty Supreme, and Sentimental Value, and 8 nominations went to Hamnet. And just taking a look at who was nominated, we have in the Best Actress category, Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue, Renate Renceve for Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone in Begonia. Best Director nods went to Zoe Chow for Hamnet, Joss Safdie for Marty Supreme, Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, Joachim Trier for Sentimental Value, and Ryan Coogler for Sinners. Up for Best Picture this year, as handed out at the nominations announcement, Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams. Those are the nominations for Best Picture coming up at this year's Academy Awards. In the Best Actor category, Timothy Chalamet for Marty Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke, excellent performance as Lawrence Hart in Blue Moon. I was really happy for that nomination. Michael B. Jordan in Sinners, he plays two parts in that, and Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. So those are looking at some of the nominations that have come out. Maybe we'll talk about some more in the coming weeks as we get closer to the Oscar ceremony. The biggest movie in the country, as I said earlier, was Mercy. It's garnered $5 million since Friday, which is not a lot in the great scheme of things. This is from Amazon MGM Studios. In some theaters, you can see it in 3D and in IMAX presentations, or both 3D IMAX. It's the story of an alcoholic police detective played by Chris Pratt, who wakes from a drunken stupor and finds himself in the executioner's chair of Mercy Court, where an AI judge and jury is played by Rebecca Ferguson. He stands accused of murdering his wife and only has 90 minutes to prove his innocence, as the AI offers information captured from multiple cameras and devices, which he's allowed to use to prove his innocence. Struggling to figure out what has really happened as he sobers up, he slowly finds details that uncover something more sinister at play. This movie has Pratt in a chair for most of the running time, augmented by images of his past from devices which are flashed quickly across the screen to build a frenetic pace of action, and there certainly is a lot of the action in this movie. This movie is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous from start to finish. I mean, I laughed out loud several times at the corny dialogue and the implausibility of the plot elements. The audience, however, with whom I watched it seemed highly entertained, however, so this may be a crowd pleaser, but I know that Mercy was 100 minutes I'll never get back. I'd like to invite you to join me at my Facebook page for more movie reviews and additional movie information. That's Matthias Bumbal's Hollywood, MATIASBOMBAL apostrophe S, Hollywood like the city, Matthias Bumbal's Hollywood on Facebook. Well, that's a look at the movies for this week. Walter, thanks so much for having me here on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night, with the cop bar is alive. Neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks, under the moonlight sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his guy.
Hey, Walter, on tonight's tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective. A daring dingling snuck into an NYPD precinct, stole a police uniform, and walked out of the door unnoticed, later wearing it, according to prosecutors. Timothy Adams, 37 years old, was found a day later passed out in a nearby Clinton House's New York City Housing Authority building, still wearing his police duds, leading a concerned citizen to call 911 about an unconscious cop. Officers responded and found the defendant passed out in a housing building where he doesn't live. He was still wearing his NYPD uniform. He was later charged with burglary, larceny, and criminal possession charges in Manhattan Criminal Court. Adams, a homeless crook with a mile-long rap sheet that includes 3 felony and 23 misdemeanor convictions, is no stranger to allegedly stealing police property. He was convicted in 2021 of breaking into an NYPD vehicle and stealing an emergency service unit vest, a baton, and live ammunition. The arraignment unfolded with Adams wearing ill-fitting clothes, rambling as his public defender detailed fresh accusations as he brazenly walked into a secure area in the 2-3 precinct building on East 102nd Street. How Adams was able to walk into the precinct remains unclear. They usually have a station house security cop inside a precinct. He was caught on video entering the precinct, walking past an authorized access gate, and exiting the precinct while wearing a uniform holding a blue bag. As a rookie cop, we had a similar incident. This guy used to come to the precinct every day, and he conned the desk officer that he was an auxiliary cop. So the desk officer says, oh, great, I got this auxiliary, give me a hand. He had him doing the radios. He had him cleaning up. And what this guy did was he helped himself. He got into the locker room, broke into a locker, stole a police uniform, a radio, and a handgun. Winds up happening is a couple of weeks later, a transit cop is on a platform in the Bronx and he sees this guy dressed in a police uniform, and he could tell the guy really didn't know what he was doing with his radio and he kept touching his handgun. The guy just seemed odd. So the transit cop walks over to him and starts talking to the guy, and he quickly realizes, hey, wait a minute, this guy isn't a cop. He's either nuts or he's lost his mind. So he places him under arrest. The guy's got no police ID card. Where did you get this stuff from? He tells him what precinct it is. And that guy got charged with burglary and possessing police property and everything. But who really got screwed, and it was the desk officer who gave him access to the precinct and the NYPD locker room. So this isn't the first time it's happened, but let's hope it's the last time it's happened. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
Snow days, spend your hungover day with Sterling every damn night.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Yes, I'm here every damn Sunday night, and there's nothing else for you, really. Really?
Why do you think women get paid less than men for the same jobs?
Girls don't work as hard as the boys.
What are they doing instead of working hard?
Doing other stuff.
Like what kind of other stuff?
Texting and running on the track.
Why do you think that women make less money than men?
Well, probably because women care about shopping more than work.
And so you think that they're kind of slacking off at work, shopping online, and that's... Yeah? Have you ever seen that happen?
No, but I think it.
Why do you think that women make less money than men?
Because men work harder. Harder in, like, real estate and other jobs.
How do you know that?
Because my dad's a real estate agent.
Have you ever seen a female real estate agent?
Yes, I've seen a couple.
And you think they don't work as hard?
I think they slouch.
Something that you will realize as an adult is that the workplace, HR, and corporate America is really a high school for adults. It's the 15th grade. They miss when they were in their prime, they miss when they peaked, or they probably were bullied and they have a stunted development. So that's why they go to work and want attention, validation. They're very entitled, they're princesses, and they always want their way. They're POSs. When you are happy and quiet at work, it infuriates them because they can't access you, or they just can't stand the fact that you go home and have a life. HR stands for human retards because they really don't care about you. They act like they do, but they're really, really fake. They will protect the person who is doing the bullying versus the person who is being bullied. And it's probably because the bully is bringing in lots of money or is a staple to the business, or they really, really need that employee.
You may have noticed at work that the worst thing you can do is go to HR. Because HR is not there to protect you and me. HR is there to protect the owners of the company. Not one thing you say in HR in confidence will be kept in confidence. The reason you go there is to have everything on the record. Then it's on the record. Congratulations. You've put it on the record. That's what HR does. I had a lot of trouble when I was at NBC with one person, one quote executive. He had everything I hated. A Wharton MBA. He never laughed. He slouched. And he fooled around. And I knew he fooled around, but I didn't know it was this bad. I had trouble with him. And I went to a contact I had in personnel, which was HR called personnel. And I said to them, I'm having trouble with this person. And they said, we have a person, this was at NBC, we have a person who resolves these sort of conflicts. That's what they do. I'm like, okay, we go to lunch. Now, I wanted to go to lunch with them because I knew that they would, I knew that they would pay. I dumped on this person from personnel. I told them every single problem. I told Michelle every problem. That wasn't her name, but let's call her Michelle. Every problem I had with George. Completely dumped everything. And a day later, a guy who works for me comes into my office, shuts the door, and says, You'll never guess who George is fooling around with. I said, who? Michelle. What? Michelle. Well, every day, George and Michelle went to a hotel for lunch. Every day. Except for the day when Michelle had lunch with me, when I got to dump on George to her. It gets worse. I call in my very proper Catherine Gibbs type secretary. And I say to her, Eleanor, you won't believe this. Did you know that George and Michelle are having like an affair at lunch? And she goes, oh, yes. Everybody knows that. HR is not your friend. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Stations like Paul Vandenberg's station in Albany, the brilliant morning man at Paul Vandenberg in Albany, and the Saga radio station in Maine, run by the great Phil Zachary. Well, and you, But Midnight Misfits know, we know that HR and personnel, those are day people. They hand out forms. Nobody who works at this time or on the great shift, no police officer in a car right now is thinking, you know, I've got to hand out more forms. He's thinking, I have to hand out more summonses to keep this community safe. That's what he thinks. But you and I know that the day people don't care about keeping the community safe. They may hand out forms, they may be in personnel and HR, and they work in infrastructure and the back rooms. And I'm not talking about Minecraft. They work in actual back rooms. What do they call it in banks? They don't call them back rooms. They call them back something. But whenever you have a trouble with a bank, whenever a bank wants to unbank you, it's because there's trouble in the back. It's not with customer service. It's not with your banker. These are the people who cause us hell. These scum on earth. Yes, I was unbanked. Just like our president, I was also unbanked by Chase and PNC. Both of them unbanked me. Hey, KDKA, PNC, Pittsburgh-based. I was unbanked by PNC and have yet to get an answer as to what the hell was going on. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Finally, a day where you and I can stay inside and do nothing, and it's okay.
Postal worker pinched. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sydney Sweeney is the girl for me. Her jeans are really something to see. She has some trouble squeezing into them, it seems. But Sydney's the stuff of Madison Avenue's dreams.
Diverse women is what I'd rather see. Sydney's promoting white supremacy. Her ad is thinly coded Nazi agitprop. I don't care what she's got on top.
The boo!
Y'all rude.
Great jeans.
She's obscene.
You're screwed in the head.
I wish you were dead.
Sydney Sweeney, she's the best.
My God, look at you. Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Yes, welcome. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail. No dots or periods or anything. And an amazing website, Walter Sterling Show, where you can get to be a Midnight Misfit. You don't fit in. You don't belong. Nobody cares about you. They don't. Your spouse, your significant other, or both, they don't really care about you. It's a marriage of convenience, isn't it? It's been a marriage of convenience now for 40 years, 50 years. It's an interesting curse that you've given yourself. But this is the curse of marriage. And the important thing about marriage to remember is that it usually fails because somebody wasn't ready. You and I have to be ready to get married, to have a successful marriage. And if you're ready, if you're in that frame of mind, if you, in your heart, you know, gee, I could get married. I'm ready to get married. It will succeed almost no matter who you marry. But if you marry too soon, it's just, it's not going to work.
Singing a song. Ooh, we call me, creep, creep. Woke up this morning.
difference between the terrible weather today and when you were a kid is that on the radio and TV, when it started to snow like this, when we started a weather like they're getting in the southeast and the south and the east, people on TV and radio used to say, get out and enjoy the snow. They used to say, go enjoy the snow. It was never an Arctic blast. It was never a conversion, some scary conversion. This is, what is this? Oh, this is water. Oh, it happens to be frozen, but it's water. And you can get out and enjoy the snow. Seems like a plan. All right, you have a kazoo. Let's go. Come on, come on. The sheet, the sheet, the sheet.
Just sprinkle some pepper into your toilet.
He's the Sheik of Verity.
Are you staring at my breasts again?
At night when he's asleep, into his tent he'll creep, and the stars that shine above will light their way to love. He rules the planet, the Sheik of Verity.
That's the hard
Hi, I'm William Devane.
All right, let's go.
Therapy, that's me. The law belongs to me. Let me at night when I'm asleep. Into my tent she'll creep. What's happening at night?
What's
when
happening?
I'm wide awake?
What's happening?
A walk maybe I should take. It's awfully hard on me. Proceed from therapy.
The best part.
What Sterling makes your evening peculiar, Sterling every damn night.
It's about 10 past the hour, 10 past the hour, coast to coast, Walter M. Sterling. Every damn week. Every damn week. What is the power and importance of this show? I have no idea. It's really not very important. I was talking to Greg Stocker, a program director, and I said to Greg, you know, he's a good guy. He views this pretty much as we do. It's like incredibly important, except when it's not. And he was talking to me. He said, you know, do you think we have too big a percentage of conversation about Republicans? Maybe we're leaning too far toward Republicans or Fox News or something like that. And he was asking me, what do I think listeners care about? And I said, listeners care about water in their basement and the red light on the dash. Because if you have that red light on the dash, you're not getting that car inspected. It's not going to pass inspection. That's what I care about. How about you? The worst thing that can happen to me, besides that or that, is if I open the basement door and I see water. It's 7:52 in the morning and it's cold enough. And I open the basement door and why is the light reflecting on the floor? Why is the light reflecting on the floor? And I see that and my day has changed. Everything I'm about to do is flushed down the basement floor, and then I have to deal with the most terrifying element of any suburban home, the most terrifying aspect of any suburban home, the sub pump. If your home has a sub pump, I know it scares you, because only real men, no woman, and I don't want any woman to deal with the sub pump. When I was a kid, what was the deal with the sub pump? Don't get near it. My dad had it squared off pretty well. Like, none of us were going to get near it, but it wouldn't matter. I was terrified of that. There are things in homes that when I was a kid, see, and there were things in homes that scared me. But the only thing in our home that scared me was if I saw water in the basement when I opened the cellar door, because I knew my dad was going to be hopeless, helpless, and really ticked off. How far did the water go? It always originated with the washing machines. How far did it get? If it got through the entire basement with that 1-inch sheen, beautiful sheen, that was a bad day. He had to get all of that down the sub pump. You remember this? Or have you had to deal with this recently? Well, I had a different problem. I come down to we had a townhouse in New York City. Yeah, that's right. And I walked into our kitchen one morning, and I stepped in water. On our kitchen floor, there was this beautiful sheen of water. I'm like, where the hell did this come from? Where did it come from? In seconds. We'll talk about that more in just seconds with Sterling every damn night.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Oh, my gosh, look at this. Walter Sterling on the snow day with Steve, the baker from J.B. Bakery, and Selena, the actual manager, operator, head of operations at J.B. Bakery. We have to start with the obvious. Please tell us the condition of snow, the amount of snow you have in Burlington, New Jersey.
Walter, it's unbelievable. The snow is it's monstrous. I've never seen snow like this. It's at least 15 inches. That's what I'm getting. And, you know, the guys are out there. They're plowing the roads, and it's looking pretty good. I'm not at the shop today. I actually took the day off. I said, I'm going to stay home. It's Sunday. Hopefully, maybe somehow I'll get a ride in. Somebody's got to have a snowmobile or something to come pick me up. But it's looking pretty heavy.
Because on the maps, you are at the epicenter of the most snow. The way the maps show the storm, you are where the most snow is going to hit. So you're saying 15 inches?
Yeah, I got 15 inches. That's what I was reading. My brother-in-law is actually the sergeant over at the police station. That's what he's telling me. 15 inches down there, and they're not even out doing anything. They have to stay clear, and the county workers are out there shoveling, and they're plowing the streets. I actually did so much business yesterday. There was no reason to open up today. I can't see anybody coming out. They should just stay home. Yeah, everybody's loaded up with donuts, pies, cakes, pastries. There's no reason for anybody to go out today.
Selena, is there a particular type of baked goods that you saw moving very fast yesterday because they're in survival mode? They're in survival mode. Selena, what did you see?
Well, I have to say, it was probably the closest thing to Christmas we've ever had in January. I mean, it was just crazy. I think we did, Stephen said, an entire weekend's worth of sales in one day, which is unusual for January. I mean, I did say before, we're coming off the January diets now. I think everybody was just buying everything that they could. A lot of bread, of course, because you can freeze that. Although, you know, I guess you probably have to throw it out in the snow if you lose power. But yeah, a lot of bread. Everybody was just buying everything that they could. And, you know, it's good to have some snow snacks. So cookies, anything small to munch on and eat your feelings if you're miserable about being stuck inside.
Steve, J.B. Bakery, and Selena, who is actually in charge of J.B. Bakery. Did you find it weird that people are acting as though they're coming to an apocalypse, that they're not going to have any food for months? This is one day.
I had customers coming in and told me that the shelves of Walmart were completely cleared out. Sam's Club ran out of bread. 3 days ago. They're not prepared to make anything else. I was the last place in town where everybody was able to get bread. Pepperoni bread's a big one, too, because they like today's football games. If people are watching football games, the pepperoni bread's a good one. But I had a freezer stock full of bread, and I didn't let anybody down. Anybody that came in, they were able to get bread. Walmart ran out of produce. Sam's Club ran out of bread. The meat was off the shelves at Walmart. Customers came into me panicking last minute. I stayed open until 10 o'clock last night, and I had a full store of people. I'll send you the picture of that. That was amazing.
I would like that picture. I find it so weird. The good news is that many people who came into JB Bakery yesterday are eating your bread for the first time, and for the first time in years compared to Walmart bread, they're going to taste what bread is supposed to taste like. They'll probably become permanent customers when they go, oh my God, this is so much better.
That's absolutely true, because that's exactly how I look at it too. There are new customers. When people start looking for places, and my place does come up on Google Maps very well, and when they start searching, and I'll actually see that I'm open till like 10 o'clock at night, they show up, and they're appreciative, and it's good to meet new people, and you know, tell them about the other items too. It's like custom birthday cakes, fresh baked cookies, gourmet cookies, sticky buns, butter cakes, cupcakes. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Now, Selena, more importantly, when are you going to be in a pageant again?
I'm not sure, actually. Either in the next few months or not again until the summertime. It just depends. I mean, things like with the snowstorm and, you know, everything like that, everything got moved around. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing one soon or if it's going to be a little while. But I do have a lot of projects to work on to get ready for that. I'm sure you can imagine there's a lot of prep that goes into that. And, you know, my snow day snacks, they might put a damper in my preparation, but I think I'll be all right.
And when are we going to see videos of Selena on Facebook and TikTok? When are we going to see more videos of you? Because, once again, like yesterday, there was another video of Steve, and I'm telling you, that's not going to bring him in.
I filmed several videos, and I know that they're living in the draft folder on TikTok on the work phone right now. And Steven went in, and he decided to film himself in front of the donuts or whatever he did last night and posted that instead of going through the folder of videos that I made. So I did think that when I saw the video come up that, you know, I spent all that time making all those videos, and for what? So I'm going to have to go on and post them, but I will have more up, and there's a couple on there now, but I'll have more coming very shortly.
I would suggest, because everybody's stuck at home and doing nothing, that you get your videos up right away, like at the end of this phone call, and then everybody can see you when they're sitting there bored, because they don't want to see Steve. They want to see donuts and you.
It's true. They'll have to get their snowshoes out to come see us, though. That's for sure.
All right, Steve of JB Bakery, Selena of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, Midnight Misfits. You go there, you say, I'm a Midnight Misfit. You get a free donut. Nothing is as good as that. Walter M. Sterling, every damn night.
Lesbians in space, Sterling, every damn night.
You know what sweet potatoes wear to bed? Oh, you know, just their, yammies. Yammies. Get it? Like jammies, but yammies.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. This is a serious storm, as you obviously know. 18-wheelers, 4-wheelers, more than 200 million Americans facing unusually brutal winter storm. It started Friday, heavy snows, freezing rains. storm is continuing to sweep through much of the United States, leaving extremely dangerous conditions in its wake as tracks eastward, high plains, Rockies, warned that the Arctic blast will bring sub-zero temperatures right now to you and me, wind chills that pose life-threatening risk, hypothermia, frostbite, exposed skin, stay inside. Transportation officials, including airport authorities, several major cities, have warned of weekend travel disruptions. We're up to 5,000 cancellations, 3,000 delays. The winter storm continues to move slowly across the U.S., blanketing cities, including Memphis, Nashville, Washington, Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, all of Maine. Heavy snow predicted throughout the southeast. It has hit the Rockies, the Plains, the Mid-Atlantic, and it's continuing through the northeast. The northwest-south probabilistic precipitation portal, the regions that could see more than a foot of snow, have been Colorado, West Virginia, and Boston seeing more than a foot of snow. Northeast New Jersey, Southeast New York, New York City are seeing between 10 and 14 inches of snow. It started this morning. It's going to go through tomorrow. The National Weather Service predicts wind chills as low as minus 10. Those are continuing from this past Friday, today, tomorrow. Most of southern New England, including Boston, has received 12 to 17 inches of snow. Wind gust up to 30 miles an hour today through tomorrow. Wind chill temperatures could reach minus 15. There are numerous low temperature records today that have been broken. This is the widest area of southeastern U.S. also predicts a forecast to experience freezing. Parts of North Texas have already seen sleet and ice from Friday night till now. It's quite a show. You know what to do. I can't stand it when the obvious is said by people like me. Well, stay indoors, stay warm. Really? What am I going to do? Run outside? I'm not going to be doing the marathon right now. That would be a bad plan. Walter M. Sterling. I am here every night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the Odyssey app. Now, what is the Odyssey app? It is the stupidest name imaginable. A-U-D-A-C-Y. The prior owner named it A-U-D-A-C-Y, not Odyssey, Odyssey. Get it? Like audio and audio, Odyssey, that's what it's supposed to be like. A-U-D-A-C-Y. M-O-U-S-E. Just the worst name, but the best company. My name is Walter Sterling. I have been in broadcasting my entire life, which is a terrifying length of time. And I can assure you that this is the best company I've ever worked with. I've been a very lucky man. I have worked with all of them. I only had one owner who was better. His name is Bob McCallum. Bob McCallum of Press Broadcasting, the Asbury Park Press, the most courageous broadcaster I've ever known, because he allowed me and a team of really sharp people to create two of the most successful stations ever, New Jersey 101.5 and Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando. And they only exist because Bob didn't blink. There were a lot of reasons to not stick with them. Very controversial, a lot of trouble, crappy beginnings. All information stations, all spoken word stations start off lousy, terrible ratings, difficult to find its way. But he didn't care. He had the best business plan of anybody in radio. The business plan was, we have to be number one. Are you doing what you have to do to be number one? I said, yes. And then we were, because he let it happen. The smartest business plan in American retailing is Five Below. Your kids have forced you to go to Five Below. You've bought all that merchandise, right? And they have stuff like that you really want. They have things that grown-ups really, you look at it and go, whoa, I need this. A lot of things having to do with the iPhones, cell phones. It's amazing what Five Below has. But their business plan is genius. For people on allowance. Their retail business is made for people who are getting an allowance. Genius. That means everything is five below because it's on my allowance. I had a terrible retail experience today at Ace Hardware. You go to Ace Hardware. You go to Ace Hardware on days like this, on weekends like this, to get logs and salt and logs and salt. And I made a mistake. The dashboard on my car kept saying, your key fob is getting weak. Your key fob is getting weak. You need to get a new battery in your key fob. Great. No problem. I'll go to Ace Hardware. They will put a, listen to me. They will put a battery in my key fob. That's what they do, right? When you need a new key fob, you go to the hardware store. You go in there and there's somebody who will put in a new battery in your key fob or whatever. They have those secret weird batteries. They know how to put them in. You and I have no idea how to put them in. Don't have a clue. You know, they know the right size. They can take one, you know, old Charlie in the Ace Hardware store. He can take one look at our key fob and know exactly what we need, right? All right, fine. I go into Ace Hardware and I go to the key area where there are many batteries, many key fobs. Very exciting. It's a very manly thing to go into an Ace Hardware. We love the aroma, the atmosphere, the fact there are a lot of guys there doing a lot of guy things, talking about, you know, you got this part here. Okay. I go up there and there's a nice young man at Ace Hardware. No problems with the nice young man. He goes, I might have the battery, but I can't put it in the key fob. What? And I'm thinking he doesn't know how. Company policy. What do you mean company policy? I'm not allowed to put it in. Is it just this key? We're not allowed to do it for any key fob. What? Meanwhile, get the scene. It's starting to snow. It's cold as hell. I'm buying logs and two bags of salt for the sidewalk. I say to another guy at the same time, could you pick up two bags of salt for me and put them in my car? Yes, no problem. He's picking up 20-pound bags, putting them in my car. I look at that. That's a hard job. That's a rough job. That he could get injured with. Hurt his back. Hurt his shoulders, hurt his feet, slip on the sidewalk, slip in the parking lot, right? That should be forbidden. No, he can do that. That's all right. They don't mind that. That's fine. What? And I say, so he can pick up 20-pound bags, but you can't put a battery in the key fob. Why? Company policy. Oh, come on. You're kidding me. I don't believe it. Somebody sat down and wrote a company policy that said you can't put batteries in a key fob. Yep. Started a year ago. I said, no. I've had a battery put in the past 6 months. Well, and somebody broke policy. Somebody broke the rules of the company. Well, then they should be fired. Have they been fired? I don't know, but I'm not allowed to do it. Like, what? Ace. Hey, Ace Hardware. Would you explain to me, Walter Sterling, on a national network radio show, exactly why an Ace Hardware employee, Ace Hardware, not a shoe store, the hardware store, cannot put a new battery into my key fob? They can't. It's a written company policy. Now, let's just think that through, all right? Walter M. Sterling, every damn night. Extra.
Now, this feller has a heck of a name. Hachikosela Mochimba. He's 44 years old, lives in Washington, D.C., is a native of that wonderful country in Africa called Zambia. Now, Hachikosela, we're just going to call him Hatch. Can I call him Hatch? I'll call him Hatch. Figured out a way to steal checks while working for the post office stole over $1.6 million in checks. He had a plan, a real good plan. He didn't have a great way to get away with it. So he was spending that money, that included international travel, luxury hotels, and lap dances at gentlemen's clubs. According to the feds, that's what they're accusing this fella of. Machimba deposited the checks, which he either altered or falsely endorsed into bank accounts under his control. You see, that's a miss right there. That's a miss. Whenever they can go and trace the stealing to you, it's a bad idea all the way around. He was a regular at the gentlemen's clubs, very popular among the dancers, because he didn't worry about the money. He was making good money, making great money, by the way, at the Postal Service. Beloved postal employee, trusted by all, and loved by exotic dancers. Stayed in high-end hotels. He stayed at great high-end hotels, and there's no word on whether those wonderful exotic dancers came to join him at those hotels. There's so many, like the Mayflower in D.C. There's a lot of great hotels to stay at. And Machimba, I apologize for mispronouncing his last name. Yeah, he's going to be going away for a little bit and then probably sent back to his beloved Zambia. But if he isn't a U.S. citizen, he commits this type of crime. Yeah, the Trump administration, they're going to send you back. They're going to put you on a plane back to Zambia and let you enjoy the wonders of that beautiful country. I understand they have meerkats there. Living it up in the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
James Parker, and this is Florida Story. For our first Florida Story, we're going to St. Cloud, where about a year ago, these two guys met, and one guy convinced the other one to invest thousands of dollars in cryptocurrency, and he lost a bunch of money. So in order to get back at this guy, he gets a beautiful 19-year-old girl to befriend him, and then convinces the married man to come meet her at her house for a little action. Well, it's not really her house. The rival of the guy had rented an Airbnb, and when the guy gets there, she asks him if he could take a shower first. He says, sure. And while he's naked in the shower, the guy that's mad at him jumps out. Aha, I've got you now. Kidnaps him, ties him to a chair, and he tells him, I lost thousands of dollars because of you. I want my money back. And so he said, all I have on me is $200. So he takes the $200. What else you got? Well, I have nothing in the bank. I'm bankrupt too. I followed my own bad advice. It's like, well, do you have anything? Well, I've got like $450 in my Venmo. Well, I'll take that. And so then the naked guy tells the upset idiot holding him hostage about some business plan that they can make all their money back. He just needs him to sign on the dotted line. But since it's a LLC between him and his wife, that he's going to have to get his wife to sign the paperwork too. And the wife calls the cops and this whole thing gets busted up. But that really happened. Some 30-year-old really did that. That's not like a Quentin Tarantino subplot. Hold my beer. For our next Florida story, we're going to the Villages, where if you're a postal worker, that has to be a pretty sweet gig in the Villages. But some postal worker, I guess it wasn't exciting enough delivering the mail in America's friendliest hometown. She developed a heroin habit. It was having a devastating effect on her economically. So she started stealing holiday cards this Christmas season. You know, because sometimes grandma mails out $20 in cash or $100 in cash, who knows. But she did actually rake in tens of thousands of dollars. She had stolen over 4,000 holiday cards that we know of. And now it's going to be even harder for her to get heroin. Hold my beer. For our next Florida story, we're going to DeBary. It is 3 a.m. on a Tuesday. So in Florida time, that's just a really late Monday night. And these two guys... One Florida man is 24. The other Florida man is 33. The 33-year-old dresses up like a woman, puts on a wig, gets some big sunglasses, even down to the fishnet stockings. And they go to the Circle K around the corner, and he jumps out with the gun, goes to the clerk, demands, oh, I want all your money and your cigarettes. Why are you stealing cigarettes? Anyway, So he gets some money and cigarettes and jumps in a rented U-Haul van with a taillight out and drives off. So there's a pretty easy description for the cops. Now, they did manage to go hit another gas station in the same U-Haul van with the busted taillight. And no one got the plate numbers, but it's pretty obvious. You stick out like a big orange sore thumb and you have a taillight out. So they had to ditch the van after the second one, and the cops caught him walking down the street because they were so ridiculously dressed, or at least the one guy was dressed, still wearing the fishnet stockings and everything. Can you hide yourself any worse? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Miami Beach.
New at 11 tonight, a Central Ohio man is in police custody in Miami after allegedly punching a man at a hostel. According to a Miami Beach police report, Jason Dyer Mitchell was being loud and drinking a bottle of vodka when he punched a man two or three times in the head and neck. The victim and witnesses say Dyer Mitchell had a nail in between his knuckles when he was punching him. He's being charged with aggravated battery along with drug and alcohol charges.
Yeah, check out this list of charges. Aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, possession of ecstasy, possession of more than 20 grams of marijuana with intent, and possession of an open container of alcohol. That's a bottle of vodka there. I don't know if he's going to end up in prison or not, but he was there to have a real good time. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, let's go to WFLA.
A new bill in the state legislature would allow schools to install cameras in classrooms to record classroom instruction and let parents review the footage if there is ever an incident.
The bill would force certain classroom teachers to wear a microphone and require a written explanation if that recording is interrupted.
I don't know where you stand politically on this bill. I don't care. I just know if we can record every piece of video and every piece of audio in every Florida classroom, Florida Stories will have so much material. We will be a 3 hour a day show. We might be a 6 hour a day show. It would be epic.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer. Hold my beer. What?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Over 200 million Americans affected by this amazing weather.
Snow days, snow days. Spend your hungover days with Sterling every damn night.
Are you a liberal, ready to scream into the void about immigration, but tired of lighting cars on fire? Well, we have several tips you can help undocumented immigrants without smashing in a window. Number one, become a host family. Put that money where your mouth is. That no human is a legal sign in your yard just became legally binding. Number two, donate half your paycheck to immigration lawyers. You don't need rent money anyway. Social justice, housing stability. Number three, marry one. I promise to love, honor, and protect your path to a green card until the 3-year audit do us part. Number four, download Duolingo and learn Spanish overnight. Because nothing says solidarity like yelling, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? At a deportation hearing. And lastly, number five, read what the law actually says about immigration. Wait, it's actually a felony to re-enter after deportation? What? That's crazy. Hope this helps.
Sydney Sweeney, are you comfortable being, like, nude?
Is it hard to act while I'm not wearing clothes?
No.
You don't find you get, like, nervous?
No. I think that I have gained so much confidence and self-awareness through Cassie. I think that the female body is a very powerful thing. I think that, for me, I'm telling my character's story. And so I owe it to them to tell it well and do what needs to be done.
And she does tell it well. It's a little after midnight throughout North America. 200 Americans inconvenienced by this amazing storm. Thousands without power. 5,000 plus flights canceled. 3,000 flights delayed. This is what we're living with right now. But this will pass. And hopefully you're comfortable inside, cozy. Even if you're in a car stuck on the damn highway, as long as you got gas, you're okay. And the car is an incredibly safe place to be right now. You got warmth. You know where you are.
You're safe. I hate to say it, but a little relaxation isn't the worst thing. I mean it. Look at it as an opportunity to have a breather. That may seem ridiculous, but it's true.
64
today. Be ready. It's kazoo time, ladies and gentlemen. And then Dave Scott.
And one who can, and one who is. 64, 64. Some like it hot, and some like it chill, and some like it cold.
64, 64
today. Some like it hot, and sure, not one is hot enough.
When there's nothing else you can do, you play the kazoo.
Some are quite big and some are very small. And the last one's Georgina, who's incredibly tall.
6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6
and after this week, no more rock and roll will be played on the air. Why do you say? Well, it's a very simple reason. 17 years ago, a system was formed here at KWK, a policy of polling the record shops to decide which records were the most sold, therefore which ones should be played the most on the air. 17 years ago, the system was great. 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, it was a good system. But in the past few months, we've begun to believe that it's becoming antiquated. And so, no more polling the record shops, no more rock and...
Spelling every night, lost in space. Mission control, baby Scott.
Dave Scott. And now the legendary Dave Scott, a known Canadian. Do you have extraterrestrial news for us? Do you have out-of-this-world information from spacedoutradio.com?
Well, one of the topics that's come up a lot lately in the UFO world is this program that was put out there by the CIA, and it was ran for about 20 years, if I can recall, about 1953, 54 to 1973, called MK Ultra. Have you ever heard of this, Walter?
I have, and that's like the top tier of secrets about UFOs. Is that right?
It's one of them, yes, because MK Ultra was a mind control program where they actually tested these weird scenarios out to see how the human brain and body would investigate, and if it would lead to things like remote viewing, astral travel, connection to consciousness, so on. How they did this, Walter, and this just blows my mind every time I look into it, was that they took these people, they may have been psychiatric patients or volunteer military personnel, prisoners, and they even tested it on civilians up here in Canada and the United States, where people were given LSD or other hallucinogens without their consent to try and make their mind basically uncontrollable, except by the one who was leading the charge. They tried hypnosis, sleep deprivation, electroshock therapy, and a lot of sensory deprivation and torture that really, really screwed up a lot of people. And a lot of this was to see about the power of the mind trying to make Manchurian candidates. So if you look at like the Bourne Identity with Jason Bourne, he would have been what we call a super soldier / Manchurian candidate, where they are like human robots that don't remember their previous identity, that don't remember where they came from. They don't even remember who their parents are, let alone giving their life to God and country to do whatever the CIA wanted them to do. And so they started this test. They allegedly ended it in 1973 because it was literally ruled that it was too much of torture and illegal under the Constitution of the United States. Many people still believe that it's continuing today, and they are using it to try and do psyops on things like UFOs. And this is where we stand, my friend. I mean, is it still going on? Nobody talks about it, but we do know that at one point the CIA was trying to control our minds.
And what was the goal of trying to control our minds? Do you have any idea?
Well, the goal was to try and create super soldiers. Okay, so instead of doing tests on like monkeys or great apes or anything like that, what they were doing is they were actually testing this mind control behavior on people that they thought society had forgotten about. Prisoners who were going to be in prison for life, psychiatric patients who didn't know what was going on and couldn't, you know, give their consent. Military personnel, obviously, who, you know, when you're told to do something in the military, you take your orders and that's what you do. Some of them even volunteered, but they didn't really know what they were getting into. And of course, they even tried at times, allegedly, about kidnapping people or testing certain subdivisions in I believe it was used in Canada, in Toronto and the Montreal area during that time, unsuccessfully. But what they were trying to do was they were trying to build these super soldiers by taking over and controlling their minds. So that way they wouldn't feel pain. They could get their mission done, like creating an Assassin's Creed type of project. It was really scary when you think about it.
This is Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio, a dominant Canadian radio show, but you can hear it on YouTube. You go to YouTube, Spaced Out Radio, and he has a great website that has merchandise. Tell us about the merchandise.
We have all sorts of really fun, good-looking T-shirts. We do not have ugly swag. There's nothing ugly there. You can wear our clothing out in public and be proud of it, including the Midnight Misfits T-shirt that I made with our captain of this show, Walter M. Sterling, flying a UFO, the UFO reading Sterling every damn night as he flies off into the universe.
What a privilege to have Dave Scott on our show every damn night.
My doodle, I just grabbed this guy named My Doodle, and suddenly he found out what happens when you F around. My doodle, we just nailed this freaking Maduro, and all his narco-commie friends will soon meet similar ends. Maduro, if I were him, I would really start praying that his execution will be delaying. Maduro, I'll never
stop taunting Maduro.
Midnight Misfits, Walter M. Sterling. We're coast to coast on this incredible night. 200 million Americans are affected by this storm. 12 inches of snow in Boston, 10 inches in Philadelphia, New York City. This is the storm. And in a week, it'll be gone. Because what? What? Oh, it's just water. Just water. 5,000 flights canceled, 2,800 delayed. Not the night to be stuck at the airport. This is the night to invest in the airport lounge. At those airport lounges that close at 10 and midnight, do they stay open all night for these magic events? Would that be the best place to spend the night? It would be the best place to spend the night if they let you. Now, the reason they might not let you is bizarre. They may find, depending on the city, that if they let you spend the night there, they're in violation of zoning laws. They have to be a residence or a hotel to actually let you spend the night there officially. But I wonder if you don't pay, if that's just borrowing a friend's sofa versus making it into a hotel. I don't know. Fortunately, I don't know any of these things. There's a new form of movies that I love. I've got to get these guys on the and they're short, they're episodic. They make like 30 episodes, which total up to a full movie. But each episode's from 2 to 5 minutes. That's it. And it's in a vertical format for your phone. You don't have to turn your phone on its side. You don't have to watch it on TV. The ratio that they shoot it at is for an iPhone, a cell phone. That's what it's made for. And they're very exciting. They're very dramatic. They tend to be tween dramas. They tend to be 17, 18-year-olds in trouble. They tend to be, you know, I am forced marriage to Mafia King. Pucked by my brother's enemy. That's my favorite one. Hannah Lowry. She's the star of a lot of these. Hannah Lowry. Pucked by my brother's nemesis. Pucked by my brother's nemesis. Yeah, that's what it says. Pucked. And it shows these robust teens, the best looking guys you've ever seen in your life, the most damsel in distress girls you've ever seen. They're bullied by sorority sisters. They're bullied by girls in the gym. These are great. Real video. No, it's R-E-E-L videos. That's one of the companies. There are several companies, but they make dozens of them because they're cheap. The episodes are short. They make 30 of the episodes. They're done. They probably shoot it in a day, and then it's all in editing. Probably pay the actors $500 a piece. The kids died and went to heaven. They could pay their rent. That's what it looks like to me. But they're well shot. They're professionally shot. They use the best cameras, the highest bit rates. It looks great. They look terrific. You put it on a big screen, now that it wouldn't look so terrific. But on my phone, it looks amazing. And then each time a new episode comes up. So some of these companies are Norca Babin Film, S&Q Films, TWR Short Films, Lucky Star Productions, First Take Talent, upcoming films. That's kind of the names of these companies, these vertical companies. They make vertical films because it's in a vertical format made for the phone. There's a part of me that likes this. Now, we have electricity. If we didn't have electricity, there'd be none of me that likes this. But there's a part of me that is grateful to the universe for being in a cozy house or a cozy car. Really, on a night like this, is there anything better when it's 7 degrees out than to be in your car, in your 18-wheeler, in the cab, and it's just right? Everything works. All the lights are on. The temperature is exactly where you want it to be. There's no weird sound. Your tires are good. Brakes are still working. There's no idiot in front of you. You haven't hit the 40-mile backup or the 10-car collision. You haven't come to that yet. We're still okay. A little north of that on I-90. I don't think this has really hit I-90. In New England and in the upstate New York, of course. But here we are. You and I are together. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com and a website, Walter Sterling Show. You can look at it tomorrow when you're cozied up. Sterling every damn Sunday night. Walter M. Sterling, that's where we should start. This is Sterling every damn Sunday night. 200 million of us inconvenienced by this unbelievable storm. 5,000 flights canceled. 7-8 degrees in the Midwest. 5 to 12 inches of snow in the Great Northeast. It's a major winter storm. There's a name for this. My people call it winter. There's no other conspiracy about this. It's just, you know, winter.
You want to know how deep I've gone down rabbit holes? I'm convinced that both of the world wars were really just to erase the old world. And that there was an entire narrative scripted around who the bad guys were, who the allies are. And it was really meant to just destroy all of these beautiful cities. They took out all of the bells. If you guys haven't looked into why there would be bells in public spaces and the healing properties and the harmonious properties that these churches and all the architecture was built in. Okay, it's sacred geometry. And it's not unrealistic that they started two world wars and put, at the time, our best men in every single country lined up across each other because they wanted to take out the most brave and quote-unquote prestigious men for every country.
The problem is, who's they? Like, I get that part, but who's they? Who's the they that benefited from this? There's one conspiracy that I'm, like, buying into. Every time I go visit a friend at a hospital, any major hospital, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Miami. Okay, there's the main entrance. There's the parking garage. And there is the cancer center. A wing to itself. Huge. And I'm told year after year to donate money to cancer research, the American Cancer Foundation, all of the charities that feed into the cancer industry. And every time I walk into one of those buildings, I don't see what I want to see. Anytime I walk into a cancer building, I don't see what I want to see. Cedar Sinai. What's the famous one in New York? You know which one I'm talking about. What I want to see is a humble, modest, research-oriented building. I want to see hallways that are lined with glass that let me look into research labs, that I could be able to walk down those halls and look into research labs. My mother died of cancer. She died of endometrian cancer. That is cancer of the lady parts in her lower abdomen. It filled with cancer fluid. They took pints of it out of her. That's what she died of. Endometriitis. And every time I went to visit her at like Columbia Presbyterian or New York University Hospital, I was always struck by the lobby. Now, I know a little bit about business. I know a little bit about construction. And I know that there are two areas of the building that are 100% discretionary, the lobby and conference rooms. When I walk into a cancer center, I want to see no lobby. I want to see a modest greeting research reception desk, a modest reception desk. See if this makes sense to you. See if you've had this experience. When I walk into a cancer-oriented hospital, I want to see a humble reception desk, efficient, several people there telling me which way to find the room I want to see. And as I walk toward the hospital room that I want to see, where I want to visit a friend or a relative, I want to walk past hallways that are glass-lined, and let me look into research labs. I want them doing nothing there but curing patients and developing research. Research strategies to end cancer. Richard Nixon, President Johnson, both declared war on cancer, devoting $250 million, $500 million to ending cancer. They all started wars on cancer. When was that? In the 1960s. 60 years ago, they started this. And every year, a new cancer center is built that's taller, with more impressive marble, and bigger lobbies. What? No, no, those are discretionary. Why are you wasting money on marble-lined lobbies with sweeping, dramatic, 50-foot-high ceilings, giant windows into the lobby, bringing sunlight into the lobby? And in some of the fancy ones, bringing sunlight into the area where there are people getting chemotherapy in comfy chairs. But they're getting chemotherapy. Which, what is chemotherapy? It's Russian roulette. It's, we'll give a person enough poison to kill the cancer cells right to the point where it kills them. Right to that moment, and they don't always succeed. Sometimes they kill the patient first. What is that? That's the best you can do after 60 years is pour poison into somebody's, pour the red devil, that's what they call it, pour the red devil into somebody's body and hope that it kills the cancer before it kills them. Woo woo. Whoa. Congratulations. The red devil is a red liquid, a red IV that everybody who works with it is all gloved up, protected, because if you get any on your skin, it's an acid burn. So this acid burn goes into your veins, because if it touches you on the surface of your skin and mixes with the air, it's going to burn you. Wow, that really sounds like some great cure. You go through 12, 15, 20 treatments of that hell, and it, quote, cures you. That's the best they can do. Meanwhile, please give us more money so we can build a new lobby. This sounds to me like a conspiracy, and the conspiracy is this. This is a huge business. Cancer, quote, treatment is a huge business, building huge lobbies and conference rooms. I believe that in the 1950s, or was it earlier, there was a famous, well-known scientific medical researcher who found the reason that cancer cells grow, and it's sugar. Various forms of sugar. You starve the cancer cells of sugar, you don't get glucose into those cells, they die. He won a prize for that. He won like a Nobel Prize for that or some big major science prize. He said, this is the cure for cancer. This is how you deal with it. He won a prize for it. He wasn't an obscure guy. He presented his papers, his research. It was accepted, la, la, la. He was ostracized by other doctors. He was driven out of the business. He was driven out of medical business. I'll tell you the story next week. He was driven out of being a doctor because he was driving pharmaceutical companies out of business. He was driving pharmaceutical companies out of business. I'm very suspicious of the cancer industry because of the lobbies. The lobbies in cancer centers are enormous and beautiful and pointless. What do you need a lobby for? You don't need a lobby in a cancer treatment center. You need a reception desk that's humble and nice. You need comfortable rooms for the patients. And you need vast research laboratories that are windowed and enable me to walk down the halls of the cancer center and see the research going on, which I've never seen. Have you ever seen it? You ever seen a cancer research library? Maybe library, laboratory, maybe they don't exist. Is that possible? All right, my name's Walter Sterling. I am here every week. God bless you. From 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. And I'm sharing that often because of this storm, you're stuck in the car, you're stuck in the truck longer than usual, and this is a very different show. I'm not the gold show, not the annuities in you show, not the Mr. Retirement show. No, we just talk to each other. And I share about my week, and you get to share about yours. On this fabulous radio station, this is Sterling every damn Sunday night. Let's dance in space.
We're lesbian moms. Of course we're going to teach our son to pick up after himself. We're lesbian moms. Of course we're going to fight over who gets Mother's Day. We're lesbian moms. Of course we're going to be disappointed if he's straight.
When Walter Sterling does his nightly show, the misfits all turn on the radio. He'll complain and blame with words that bite, and he does it every damn night. When Walter Sterling does his mighty show.
On Sterling every night. Smutty books, lusty books, get cozy with the Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere. Leora breathed a sigh of relief upon finding herself beside the shaded pool. She took her seat in her usual place and looked around. Everything appeared as it had the night before, and not a single rock or leaf was out of place. She had been lucky, she realized, and she vowed to be more cautious in the future. It wasn't long before Stephen tumbled forth from the woods, breathless and wide-eyed. He stared at her, cocking his head to the side as he panted for air and raised his eyebrows. Leora? The sound of her name in his voice sent a chill rippling across her skin, and she resisted the urge to rush toward him and fling her arms around his waist. Instead, she waited for him to sit next to her, and she took his hand in hers once more. She didn't dare attempt to speak aloud, but she tried to mouth some words in response to his greeting. Her efforts were futile, though, and she gave up when she saw his frustration in trying to understand her. However, he could speak, and there were things she wanted to know. She touched his leg, her fingers running down his bare flesh and over the coarse tissue of the scar disfiguring the side of his calf. Her gaze lingered there as she contemplated its origins, and then she turned back toward him, imploring him to tell her more of his story. As hard as he tried to escape her inquisitive stare, she was unrelenting. His eyes focused on a fixed point somewhere in front of them as he spoke. Leora sensed he was seeing events from his past being replayed on a constant loop, lifelike scenes which would never fully escape him. His tale was not the most tragic she had ever heard, yet she could tell how it had affected him. For much of his life, it seemed little attention had been paid to this man. Careless actions had almost crippled him, both physically and emotionally. While he evoked sympathy from her, she was confident he would be the one to help her escape her prison. But how could she draw strength from him? She gave his shoulder a soft squeeze, and he snapped back to look at her again, his face so very close to hers. He didn't give her a chance to react before he kissed her, caressing the back of her neck and pulling her close. His calm, patient demeanor transformed into something far more urgent, and he pressed his lips against hers with inspiring vitality. She was all too happy to reciprocate, and she locked her arms around him, yearning to feel as much of him against her as possible. Oh, unfortunately, I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere, which is available at Amazon and at theolandon.com. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts, as well as complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/theolandon. And don't forget, you can always send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.
Email waltermsterling@gmail. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative, people. Musical director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero. Sean Walsh. Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker. James Copeland. That's me. Randy Thomas. Charlie Van Dyke. Charles Van Sant. Robert Clotworthy. Peter Thiel. Erotic Thrills Thea Landon. Class Act Jill Brooke. Baked Goods, Steve and Selena J.B. Bakery. Skullduggery, Vic Ferrari. Blessings, Father James Drucker. Meteorologist, Dr. Dave Iser. Writer, Jerry the Writer. Business Guidance, Craig Kitchen. Program originated by Chris Olivero. Long-suffering executives, David Yagaroff and Greg Stalker. With respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard.
A great way to